Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Everybody, you heard what they said on Junior Eurovision. Let's bloom!
And welcome to another blooming episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country with brain worms. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And I'm Liz.
Ah! Hey, wow. Hey, Liz.
Liz is here.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, honey.
You know, if we're a blooming country, does that mean we come with a zesty dipping sauce?
I hope so. And that sauce is freedom. By the way, I encourage you all to go back and listen to the really unfortunate cold opens we did before the election, where we all talked about how great it was. Oh, crap. Sam, hit him with
No, you can find us on almost all the standard social media outlets. We are very much separating ourselves from Twitter/X and really moving over to Blue Sky when it comes to our quick reactions and things like that. You can find us at 12 Points USA. Basically, just look for that, and you can find us on just about everything. If you wanted to look back on our not tweets, but skeets, our bleats, our messages into the universe about Junior Eurovision, you can find those over on Blue Sky now. Or you can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with us directly. You can find us also, if you wanted to give a one-off contribution, you could do so over at our Ko-fi account. That's ko-fi.com. Or with an ongoing contribution over at our Patreon page. And we do have two new Patreons that have joined our fray recently. Unfortunately, I do not have your names right here. I'm kind of working without my computer in front of me at the moment. We will give you your proper shout outs and gratitude next time we gather. You can get our material at any point, but if you do support us via a monthly contribution on Patreon, you do get early access to episodes and special bonus features too. So yeah.
We get like the bonus DVD features that come with the DVD of Twister.
Well, yeah, and Danny speaking in French.
Yes, that's...
We get director's commentary, so you get to hear us sort of like faint in the background, and then us talking about what we're talking about in the foreground.
Yeah.
You guys
should
love it.
We should actually do that for like our first episode.
I also just wanted to say, speaking of things that are emails, we literally just got an email in from somebody named Sam, who is not actually me, Sam Hopkins. For the sake of your next episode, I would like to remind you that the delicious Georgian cheese boats are called khachapuri. And in regards, an avid listener and American here in Tbilisi, home of Junior Eurovision 2025. Sam Hopkins, your timing is absolutely impeccable. We appreciate your email. And yes, khachapuri, if you are just listening to us, having not watched Junior Eurovision, spoiler alert, yeah, Georgia.
Isn't a delicious Georgian cheese boat who sang Midnight Gold back in 2016?
Young Georgian cheese boats.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. I know that it's called khachapuri. I just really like saying cheese boat. Yeah. It's a choice that I made, but they're so good. And yeah, so many cheese boats are going to be had by everyone next year. I love them. I love them very much. And
my
Georgia won.
We can make it right now.
Yeah, but...
But cheese boats in Georgia would probably taste better, no?
With a glass of Georgian wine.
Oh.
And whatever those dumpling things were we had a bunch of in Ukraine.
Khinkali, yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Melkali?
I was gonna
one say blood?
One dumpling.
I mean, they're pretty big. Yeah. You only really need one.
All right. So Georgia won. That's the main takeaway.
And
I
kind
think.
Of out of nowhere.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, that's... We wrote down our predictions for our top fives right before the voting reveal. And I don't think any of us had Georgia... at all.
It's just in a world where Junior Eurovision has awarded the win to the kind of people that it's given it to the last 5 years, it was inconceivable to me the idea that Georgia and Portugal, our two ballads sung by accomplished singers, are just
top two.
Top two.
I also find it interesting that we had this the winning song written by a very, very well-renowned and like well-trodden Junior Eurovision alum, Giga Kukianica, which I guess this would make this his fourth win as a songwriter, third or fourth win as a songwriter.
Wait, you're telling me he wrote Bzzz?
I'm pretty damn sure.
Sick.
Yeah. Yeah, like his studio is called Biscabi Studios. Yeah, like, yeah, it's a thing. But Portugal's win was the only song this year completely written and composed by the artist herself. So I think there's a lesson there that you can't really wager on whether it's going to be from the machine of a grown-up songwriter or something from the kid themselves.
For the
online vote, and again, this is, you know, all global vote, not divvied up by country or anything like that. Portugal ended up with 117 public votes. Ukraine coming in second with 81, followed by Malta close behind at 79. France at 74. Spain at 64. And then Georgia at 59. So Portugal, 117 online votes. Georgia, 59 online votes. Yeah.
Given the total of votes from the pool to select from, I am blown away that Malta and Ukraine functionally were tied. That's nuts. From the televote, even. Everything that I said, everyone out there who's like listened to our preview shows and has heard everything that I've had to say about Ukraine and Malta and France, like, I was completely wrong about just... I stand by my opinions, but I was completely wrong about just like how the Junior Eurovision community would vote concerning these songs. In a very good way. I'm blown away that they have taste.
I feel like it was a little bit of feast and famine in terms of the quality of the performances this year. There were a few that were heartbreaking. I think is probably a decent word for it. They just didn't come together. Cyprus, was rough. North Macedonia was rough. San Marino
just felt kind of like rhythmically off, which is odd.
Yeah. So in the case of San Marino, when they started singing, we all kind of looked at each other, going, "Is there something technically wrong? Did they not hear their cues? Are they not hearing their beats? Like something didn't seem right there." We were almost wondering, were they going to be able to potentially sing again if there was a technical difficulty that kept them from their in-ears working. I don't know. But unfortunately, it didn't pan out as well as we thought. But then again, there were also a couple of songs that I thought were performed capably that were not responded to. Most notably, Ireland. Ireland, my God. Only 40 points from the online vote, second from the bottom, 15 points from the jury vote. Which would have put them in 12th place, coming in 15th or 3rd from the bottom overall. That's a song that I think we all generally liked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ireland, you should not feel discouraged by this. You had a fantastic contemporary song that you should absolutely feel proud of, and I think Enya's a star.
Ireland's getting, we say it year after year in Junior Eurovision, they're getting dumped on, and for no good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think Enya's a star. Who can say how her career will turn out? Only time.
Jesus Christ.
You've been probably sitting on that for weeks, haven't you?
No, actually.
Since last preview show.
I'm that clever.
Her anyway. Big break is coming when they make more Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, yeah.
Great, she can win another Oscar. Great, yeah. Great.
Rings of power for kids.
So our listeners will probably just be like vaguely familiar with how things go, but what was the real top five at the end of things? And then let's go over our top fives that we predicted after watching the show to see how hilarious this was.
Yeah, it was a runaway in the jury. However, it was not overall a runaway. Georgia winning with 239 points. Portugal coming in a really solid second place, their highest ever at Junior Eurovision, with 213 points. So only that would be 26 points behind. Mm-hmm. Ukraine, 10 points behind that at 203 with the third place. France in fourth with 177. Malta in fifth, 153 points. Again, breaking back into the upper echelons of the competition where they haven't been in quite a few years.
Beautiful.
Spain in sixth, Seventh place going to Albania, beating Armenia by 1 point. And then we have about a 27-point drop to ninth place, which would be Italy, followed by the Netherlands, Germany, then Poland, Cyprus, Estonia, Ireland, North Macedonia, and San Marino bringing up the rear.
Estonia. We all loved Estonia. Yeah. Didn't work on stage.
No.
Just didn't work on stage. Works great in the ear. Works great on your Spotify. Doesn't work on the JESE stage.
All right. Who wants to go first on their...
I would love to start out because mine was so... Not like hilariously bad, but like as I counted them up, like I was just kind of going... Top four was kind of what I thought was easy to predict. And then I just threw in a number five based on, I don't know, the current junior Eurovision dynasties. Mm-hmm. Number one, I had Spain.
Yep.
I thought it would do absolutely fantastic. I sang its praises, and she was very good at it. Probably had the most ambitious staging, and it really succeeded. I thought it was a no-brainer top three.
Home field advantage, too. I mean, the crowd was just going nuts for her.
Number two, I had France. I would never put France at number one. But I was worried. I was very worried. Number three, I had Ukraine. Number four, I had Armenia. Number five, I said, you know what? Maybe they'll surprise me, the Netherlands.
It was a great performance of a very mid song, I think, is ultimately what ended up being. Let's go.
Well, I got Ukraine right.
Liz, what did Liz think?
All right. Yeah, I had France in one. I thought it would come out better, even though, you know, like you feel in your heart that France is going to do France things, and it sounds great in the studio, sounded great on the stage, wasn't what the people wanted this year. And then Spain, of course, even though it just grates on my skin in all its maximalist shininess. Third, I had Ukraine. Seems right. I had Portugal at fourth and Armenia at fifth.
Good call on Portugal, though. I mean, I didn't pick that. I had Spain 1, Ukraine 2, France 3, Armenia 4, and I just wanted to believe Estonia 5. Look, here's the thing: like with the televote, you know, it's you haven't seen the full performance and things like that. So, like, I think some of those televote votes are going over, you know, which songs do you like the most? And I think for some people, for 3/4 of this podcast, we thought Estonia was the best song.
No regional neighbors, though, too. They're very geographically isolated and culturally isolated.
Sam,
not that
what
that
you
is
got?
Like 100% of help, but yeah. It does help.
No Baltics, no Scandinavians.
Right,
they were
exactly.
Really alone on this one.
I actually wasn't as far off as I was expecting to be. I, after getting the vibe of a lot of the social media and just seeing at how well she performed it, I actually thought Portugal was going to take number one. I did have Portugal at number one. I put Spain at number two with the asterisk of probably taking the public vote, and I was wrong, and I admit that. Third, I did put Ukraine, because, again, he was really, really vocally solid.
How many of us put Ukraine at number three?
Yeah. A bunch of...
Well, did you put it at three, too, Eric?
I had him at two.
France I had in fourth, and then Armenia I put at fifth place. I just, between track record and how stinking cute it all was, I thought you couldn't knock Armenia out.
You did a pretty good job, considering.
Yeah.
Remind me, where did Yan Girls finish last year?
Third. This guy just comes in looking like a little Johnny Logan.
We're never going to stop with that.
No,
also,
look
like,
at him.
The early 80s Johnny Logan, like transitioning out of the 70s.
But remember, he's Armenian, so it's Johnny Logian.
Ah, Logian.
Logian.
Never going to forgive you for that.
Derek, what do you got?
All right, real quick. Number one, I had Spain. I don't know why. I thought they were going to pull it off. Yeah. Number two, France, because of France. Number three, Ukraine. Absolutely crushed it, I thought. Really nice staging. Still not a great song, but I think one of the best performances tonight. Number four, Armenia. And no, I did not just copy Danny.
Yes, nuts.
I know.
You would never put the Netherlands at number five.
Oh, God, no. Number five, I really struggled with, and I really wanted to put Georgia, and then I kind of hemmed and hawed about it. I'm like, there's no way people are going to vote for this.
Oops.
Number five, Portugal.
Okay.
Yeah, I really wanted to put Portugal higher, but for whatever reason, I just didn't think people would be on board. And man, oh man, I was wrong. And I'm so happy to be wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, this is Portugal's highest result ever at Junior Eurovision. Second highest result in any Eurovision contest, if you're, you know, counting the big ones as well, because, you know, you got Salvador and then there's everything else. And on the other side, this is, you know, Armenia coming in eighth place. This is their third lowest result ever, which for eighth place is still pretty damn good. They have two ninth place finishes. But yeah, it's the 2024, and they also came in eighth place back in like 2008. So this is, I mean, again, the delegation should still feel very, very proud of themselves, but oh dear.
Well, and I think we all thought Armenia would be a little higher than where it landed. I mean, I solidly performed, put together on stage, looked nice, sounded great. And I think we thought that that kind of Armenian voting bloc would come through in a bigger fashion than it did.
Still a shock. Albania beat them out by a point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Albania was solid. But I mean, yeah, that's wild. This, it's a good show. I think one disappointment I had was
postcards. Say it.
Oh,
say postcards.
Honestly, like I, we'll get to that. But what?
Oh,
what,
that wasn't your disappointment.
Well,
it's a whole separate discussion.
Yeah, I mean, that's beyond disappointment and into like I'm calling the police.
Oh yeah, that wasn't disappointment. That was us. I just want everyone to know, watching it live, all of us, every single time the AI portions came up, we were recoiling in horror.
Yeah.
Grunting in revulsion.
No, I was going to say, I feel like there maybe needs to be some sort of adjustment to how Junior does its televote points.
Yes.
Because it sucks. And like, I think a big part of why they do it, and it's basically if you get X percent of the vote, you get X percent of the total points. That's okay in some ways. In particular, a junior, it makes it so that nobody can get nul point, which is good. I get that. But it also means that everything gets about 50 points, give or take. And so when a country like Georgia this time has a lead of what, like 80?
It's 58 points over second place Ukraine. Yeah.
After the juries.
Yeah.
That's insurmountable. Like no one is getting 58 more points than anyone else. In almost any circumstance, if you have a 58 point lead going into the televote, it's over. Like there's no drama. There's no, these things don't have to have drama, but it just, the way these points are distributed is so even that, you know, we can look at it and be like, okay, at a minimum, Georgia was at 180 points. We know they're getting at least 40 more. So for anyone to pass them, they need to get to like 110, 120 to even have a shot. And that's, I don't like that.
It was shocking, especially because the number one in the televote only got 117 points, which wasn't huge. I feel like compared to other years, I'm not sure.
I'd have to look at last year.
Because I remember when they, like, I think multiple countries previously had like over 100 points. And this year felt, wow, I was like seven countries had numbers in the 40s.
Yeah, I feel like last year was even less, like, there was even less distribution or differences in the points.
Yeah, I mean, last year it was nothing broke 100 points. Everything was between 92 and 34 points.
Oh, wow.
For last year. So there was a little bit more of a runaway, but even then, a runaway, that's not saying too much with this current system. Like, I'm almost wondering, for Junior, do we scrap the 12-10-8 system altogether and have jury
like
rank everything?
Oh.
Rank everything.
Jury everything?
Yeah, just, yeah. Yeah, from 1 to 17, basically. And
have
then
a whole
maybe,
day to do it.
And,
so.
And then potentially do something with the online vote. Something similar. I mean, we saw with the presentation of the jury scores where they show, all right, here are all the 1 points. Here are all the 2 points. Here are all the 3 points. It went surprisingly quickly.
Yeah, I mean, this wrapped in 2 hours, two hours even.
Yeah, fantastic.
It was a very, very efficient show.
Sanremo could never.
Yeah, God. Yeah, and I thought it was an interesting way of doing the reveal, but I don't know that it was a good way of doing the reveal, because you don't learn anything from, like, oh, here's where the ones came in.
It almost felt like, all right, we're going to give them a bunch of 3 points and 4 points, and all these stupid little kids who love Spain will start cheering.
It's yeah.
Like, well, we know at home that this number really doesn't make that much of a difference.
Georgia had, I want to say, like 32, 34 points or something like that going
before they started announcing the eights and the tens?
No, before they started announcing the 12s. And then all of a sudden, Georgia literally broke through the top of the scoreboard. They had they had more points than the graphic was prepared to deal with, which is very silly.
They got more than half 12s, right?
Yeah, like something like them, that.
Wasn't it?
Something like that.
The first five countries gave them 12.
Yeah, yeah, it was
absurd.
It was kind of wrong. We were all kind of sitting there slack-jawed about that. I didn't take a photo of everything as they were coming in, but at the time of 8 points coming through to everybody, Georgia had 16 points overall. So they were either going to be completely ignored, or you knew that it was going to be all 10s and 12s for them. But then again, you know, Georgia had that same amount, but so Poland had 13 points at that moment. Germany had 14 points at that moment. San Marino still only had 1 point at that moment. So, like, you didn't know where it was going to go.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it's quicker. We'll give it that.
It's quicker. And
I don't know that it's an improvement.
I don't know that there's a ton of drama to be milked out of that whole low point reveal. So just doing it fast, it's like, I have no problem with that, actually.
Oh, really quick, 12 countries gave Georgia 12 points.
I just wanted to take a second to talk about the success of the ballot this year. I mean, obviously, we had Georgia and Portugal with their ballads, and then Malta in fifth with a ballad. I feel like we don't normally see a lot of that at the top at junior. A ton, in at least them taking, you know, three of the top five slots. You know, it's really Ukraine, France, Spain, so maybe 50-50 at the top of if we're looking at six. But I just found it interesting that what we went for, or what we have gone for previously in, you know, top two or three, isn't what we went for at all this year.
Especially with a televote. I wouldn't have expected that. Like, Portugal first, Malta third, Georgia was sixth. I mean, nice to see all the ballots kind of coming up near the top.
I mean, I was watching this while my mom was messaging me, and she basically...
Hi, Sam's mom.
Hi, Mom. Yeah, she picked Georgia, Portugal, and Malta immediately and was like, it's all about the voice. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they sang the heck out of it. Always, always, always look for or listen for the voice. And these, I mean, the kids that ended up at the top sang the heck out of it.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, whether it was an upbeat or not. I mean, Ukraine, Artem, served. Like, oh my God. But their vocals were all where they should have been.
Well, it makes me wonder, too, as they're picking out songs and contestants, I think one of the pitfalls, especially of this year's contest in terms of vocal quality, was the fact that a lot of kids were trying to sing bops, which required them to do a lot of intensive dancing, a lot of singing at the same time, and hopefully staying on pitch. And I didn't see a lot of success in that last category from some of those boppier songs.
Except for Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Ireland.
It doesn't explain Ireland.
People just don't like the Irish. All right, we gotta talk about the AI. This is going to be the thing that is like the legacy of this show. I feel like
it wasn't even like we exercised restraint with AI. This was the AI that your boomer uncle shares on Facebook. This was unbelievably laughable.
It was
just laughable.
It was really, truly awful. And like
half of the time, they didn't look like them.
Mm-hmm.
Armenia, Leo, that wasn't Leo. That was just an AI boy.
Yeah. I think the only one we thought looked really convincing was the Polish kid. And that's because he just looks like he was made by AI.
Yeah, that kid just started out as AI
to begin with.
But then, interestingly, the Polish the Polish entry ended up AI aging him at the
it
end.
It was terrifying.
It was terrifying, but it looked better than what Spain was doing the entire show.
Like in the future, he's going to go missing, and this is what we'll use in the police report.
I mean, again, then you're getting into ethical issues of these kids are between the ages of 9 and 14. And, you know, the implications of using their images like this, it's... there are a lot of unanswered questions. It just feels really, really, really sketch to me. Beyond it just not looking good.
Just didn't look good,
The only one that looked half decent, we were talking about this, was Spain's, because it looked like she was ripped right out of Lisa Frank. And that is almost acceptable?
Well, I'll say the hardest thing for me to kind of get over is this notion that they're using AI to do all this stuff, because it means that they're not paying people to do it. And, you know, there was footage of these kids playing with their friends or going to the record store, or I don't know, whatever children do nowadays. But it would have been so easy for them just to like use more footage of these kids running around in their hometown and having fun. And I'm like, that would have been perfectly acceptable. Like, no, we need to do this AI thing. But nobody really gets paid for that. Like, those are like shortcut cost-cutting measures that they do as like placeholder imagery or something.
Yeah.
But it was like all over the place. It wasn't just the postcards. It was the backgrounds.
Yeah. Yep.
It was like other graphics and stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, how many people got laid off? And how much money did they save doing this? And are we going to see this at the adult competition now?
I'm not sure if a lot of this was a decision by the EBU or if it was the Spanish broadcaster's decision to do this and their production company. So it's really, really easy to point fingers at, oh, the EBU is screwing things up again.
It's fun, too.
It is, but this might not be the EBU's specific decision.
I'm not blaming anyone in particular.
I know. I'm just saying I've seen a lot of narrative from folks online in various medium that say, oh, the EBU is effing stuff up again. It's like, this might not be the EBU specifically. They probably had to approve some stuff, but I don't know how much Spain kind of took and ran with it.
It's such an interesting thing seeing it, because I've seen other areas where they use artwork, and if there's even the suggestion that AI artwork is going into it, people kind of revolt. I see like online chatter, people like board games, for example. If they don't hire real artists to make this artwork, they're just doing AI art, then people are like, I'm not interested. I don't care what it is. And sort of seeing this like in a television show where it's like a multi-million-dollar industry.
Here's my problem with AI is every time it's done to like if it's used to create imagery for a board game or to create imagery for Eurovision, it all looks exactly the goddamn same. There's no character in it. And it's like, oh, great. We have it's a contest about singing songs, little kids singing songs. You know what we should do? We should just do something that will make everything so homogenous.
Well, the thing that concerns me about it being used for children really is that what message does that send to kids? Is, you know, are we sending them the message that this AI version is a more perfect version of yourself? And I would posit that no, it absolutely shouldn't. You know, kids should be kids, should be able to look like kids, should be able to act like kids. And we're, you know, if we're painting them in a certain fashion, we're setting them up for an unreasonable standard.
My issue with it is that it's stupid. No, I was thinking a similar thing to what Derek was saying, is like, you filmed footage.
You've got it.
Of these kids. You didn't. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, it's interesting enough. It's cute enough.
Like, let these kids be kids. That's why we tune in. We don't tune. I mean, it reeks of like one person who had a little more power than they decision-making power than they should have, being like, you know what I think is cool? AI. And we're going to put it in all this stuff. And look, I don't know if it was the EBU or the Spain BU or whatever, but I will say this, EBU, if you're listening, if you do this next year, I will spend the entire time in Basel making fun of you for it.
When has that ever stopped you before?
More so.
Yeah, no, you think our funny little goofs were been fun for the last 5 years? Just wait. Put AI in the contest. I dare you. It's
already there.
No, I know.
I mean, again, do we need to bring up the San Marinese national final last year with the last polar bear?
What was this?
You don't remember this? David?
No.
They had
me about the San Marinese final. What?
They had a mini selection of songs that were basically AI generated
oh, this is ringing a bell.
Yeah, and they had, you know, the best one of these was, you know, kind of polished up by humans, but it was a finalist in the San Marinese National Flag. They had like a sort of fast pass for this one AI song, and it was this entry called The Last Polar Bear, all about, you know, the melting of the ice caps, and nobody cares about this last polar bear. And it was sad, and it was maudlin, and it was AI.
Sung, and it was sung by the Beatles.
I can't wait for this hit new song about how righteous it would be to be the person who kills the last polar bear.
I mean, it kind of feels like a song they would have sent to Junior, honestly. Yeah. I'm surprised nobody at Junior was like, hey, hold on to that one.
Yeah. Oh, God. This, it's just...
There were some comforting things about the contest this year. Like, AI could have produced us Germany's song.
What?
It's a song sung by a cute little boy about saving the water and the trees and the air that we breathe. AI could have written that song. I'm being mean.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank God we've never used AI on our show except for the one time that we did. And
that was only to make fun of it, though.
Yeah, we wouldn't have gotten the incredible nickname Danny Dazzle without
Danny Dazzle, yeah.
Yeah,
Danny
Dazzle. So.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Danny Dazzle, why do you have 8 fingers on your right hand?
What are you talking about? There's only 6.
He killed Amiga Montoya's father, that's why.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And
I also have like 12 abs for some reason.
That's the Dazzle right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. So it just frustrates me. It's so weird to me. It's been going around a lot the last couple of weeks, just not understanding where people's mindsets are on certain things. But I don't understand why people like this. I don't understand why people think it's cool.
Yeah, do people think it looks good? No, it does not.
Like, it objectively doesn't. And I know art is subjective. I'm sorry. This looks like ass.
Even like beyond the idea of like, oh, you should hire artists. I do think that you should always hire an artist to do something like this. But it's even stupider that they're like, okay, we'll cut corners and it will look like we did.
I want to shout out our friend Daniel from Sweden, who has done an extraordinary amount of work for Eurovision related things. He's one of the kindest people we've encountered doing this business. He is a profoundly talented artist. He's an amazing photographer. And I think about this specifically hasn't happened, but the idea where the hard work that he puts in and the value he adds to a product by working on it is just discarded in favor of this garbage. And it just, again, I'm getting mad at a thing that hasn't happened, but the idea of it is so infuriating. And if it wasn't Daniel for this, it was somebody else. Like I hate this so much. And it goes beyond that it looks like crap. That's not why. It does, but that's not why I'm pissed off.
It's all the movies in the 90s that thought CGI would be cool.
Yeah. It's like, wow, what if every movie was like New Jack City? Or something.
Cool World?
Yeah, Cool World.
I was thinking Spawn, but okay.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite 90s movie with awful effects?
The Abyss.
Well, it can't possibly be Twister, because Twister has great effects for the 90s.
I'm going to ask somebody else. Sam, Sam, what do you think?
I feel like bits from Hackers, maybe.
Ooh. Oh, Hackers. You just rewatched Hackers? How was it?
The one with Dan Aykroyd?
No, it's Angelina Jolie, Johnny Lee Miller.
Extremely young Johnny Lee Miller, mm-hmm. too.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when he met his temporary wife, yeah. Angelina Jolie.
Good old temporary wife.
Right, we're getting off track here. Okay.
Movie podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, but at least it's a movie reference that I know.
All right. Oh, God. Junior.
We hate the AI. We hate the AI. Love the results, actually.
Honestly,
top
yeah.
Five top five I could never have predicted, and I'm very happy with.
Good, yeah, good contest. I think a lot of times we have these like on either any of the contests that we end up covering, we'll have these things that are like, wow, that was a fantastic performance. just nailed it. It won't win though. And
finally,
and this time it did.
Yeah,
this time it did. It was a spectacular performance, one that I wish I'd paid more attention to the first time around, because I just wasn't thinking about it as a potential winner, and I'm glad to have been clearly in the minority on that.
I mean, to be fair, it's, you know, it was a ballad with not necessarily the most catchy structure to it, and it was also one of the last songs to be released this year, even though Andrea was one of the first acts to be announced, because he was, you know, one Ranina back in like May or something like that. It was one of the last songs to come out, so we had less time to kind of play with it and ponder on it. But he sang the hell out of it, and sometimes that's all it comes down to. I just want to say that I am potentially excited. I mean, this is, like I said, Georgia's fourth win. They've only hosted it once.
Really?
Yeah, back in 2017.
Jeez, where could it possibly go now, though?
It could go. It could go to Tbilisi, could it not?
Well, I mean, if it's not going to be in Georgia, you know.
I mean, again, we have a very worthy silver medalist.
They ever let Armenia host?
We have a very, very worthy silver medalist. I don't think it'd be right to put it in the third place country.
No.
But yeah, I mean, whether it's Tbilisi or Lisbon or Porto or wherever the heck they put us, I'm looking forward to next year as long as they just drop the frickin' AI.
It stinks.
It stinks.
Yeah, I think we about covered. Anything else that we know? Anything else about this particular contest that doesn't involve AI that we need to?
Yeah, that male host was just weird. Just what was going on?
His voice changed. He had like he put on a different voice at one point.
At a certain point, one of the co-hosts was just like, "Remember, this is a children's show." Ha 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 ha! And we're like, "What is going? What? Why did she have to say that?"
It's a Blumhouse production, is what this turned into.
I was going to say, with so many male acts at this year's contest, I was really, really worried about one of the singers' voices changing by the time the show came
mid-song,
to air. I was not expecting it to happen to the host.
And it went up! It went up!
His voice cracked!
Guess suddenly, there's somebody one of the kids is a baritone, which would be really...
I love that. Good old Junior Eurovision reverse puberty. No one ever sees it coming.
But I will say, Ruth and Melanie were pretty solid as hosts, I think. Yeah. And yeah. Melanie, good honor for, you know, still being active in the circle. And two, your British accent, Melanie, massive props to you. It's your English is very, very good.
I do love when Ruth said that in the green room, there were loads of emotions.
Loads.
Just loads of them.
Just loads. Which TV show do we think Melanie learned the English accent from?
Call the Midwife.
Call the Midwife?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ted Lasso.
I'm going to say, in a surprise upset, Seinfeld.
Nobody picked Downton Abbey?
Downton Abbey.
Downton
She's my favorite.
Abby Brown. What do you think, hon?
Taskmaster.
Oh, wow. Liz wins.
Okay.
All the instructions are in the task. She did say that at one point.
Yeah. Your time starts now. I bet they'll be in Tbilisi. I think they'll be fairly eager to host. As long as, well, yeah, we'll see what's going on with the countries in that area. But you know, I think they'll be happy to do so as long as it's reasonable. Anyway, speaking of things that are reasonable, we got to go.
Speaking of things that are reasonable, this is a reasonable time to end this show.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Derek. You saved us all.
And I've been Derek. And America. No.
Now we get into regular Eurovision. We're going to have some guests lined up, I think, at least tentatively. And some cool concepts and ideas of things we'll be talking about as we roll into get started with the regular shows as we get into Switzerland.
But I think are we ready to cap this off tonight?
Yeah.
All right. Well, in that case, everybody, you know how to find us on social media. Let us know if you have suggestions for shows that you would like us to cover. Again, reach out to us, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com, or just find us on social media. Again, we are beginning to favor Blue Sky more, so find us there specifically. But until the next time, everybody, I've been Samantha.
Yeah, I've been Derek.
Yeah, I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And I've been Liz.
Yeah.
And America.
Stop listening there. We'll be right back.
let's blow!